Hello, I'm Carolyn Baines from Farnham Quakers, and I just want to welcome you to this Centering Down with Compassion podcast. Centering down is a term some Quakers use to describe the process of coming into stillness. And each month, we take one of the 42 short paragraphs that Quakers use to help them explore different aspects of a spiritual life. And these are referred to in the rather quaint term of advices and queries. So our group is open to anyone who would like to explore ways into stillness and community. And if you want to get in touch, please visit farnham.quakermeeting.org. I hope you enjoy.
I invite you to do what I always invite you to do, just completely relax. You can close your eyes and let the words just wash over you like you're in a shower or something. And advices and queries, number 28. Every stage of our lives offers fresh opportunities. Responding to divine guidance, try to discern the right time to undertake or relinquish responsibilities without undue pride or guilt. Attend to what love requires of you, which may not be great busyness. That's the real corker, isn't it? Attend to what love requires of you, which may not be great busyness. So, friends, I was hearing in Last Words on Radio 4 recently about the inspirational Wendy Mitchell, who wrote Which Me Am I Today?, which is her experience of living with early onset Alzheimer's disease. And she describes how at first she was very depressed at receiving that diagnosis and her mind went straight to the end, you know. Really grim. A grim forgetting of everyone she loved and completely helpless and hopeless. And then she realised that she was just the same person after the diagnosis as she was before. And that this journey was going to be a gradual letting go, you know, as it is for everyone. As the saying goes, the cause of death is life. Or as the Buddha put it, everything has the nature to be born, has the nature to die. Which is really at the heart of Buddhist teachings on impermanence, right? There is a time to live and a time to die, a time to undertake responsibilities and a time surely to relinquish them. Let them go. And talking of letting go, recently I had the joy and challenge of trying to help a very small baby. She's 6 months. She was trying to help her to go to sleep. And I was doing that thing, you know, where you rock a baby and move the baby. And I started to say, found myself speaking to her. I was saying, I know you are tired and you need to sleep and I will try to help you to let go. May you be peaceful. And it struck me that it is not easy for a baby to let go and allow the rest that she needs. It takes many months of patient holding for a baby to understand that it is safe to let go. And then it comes and fits and starts, doesn't it? It was a real insight to me. It made me wonder that for me to be able to let go, just like the baby, I need to be connecting to a larger holding. Yeah? Like I can just be that baby and I'll let go if as long as something bigger is holding me. So it's part of living adventurously that we accept the unknown. I recently read a post in the Facebook page, Quaker Renewal, and a friend was dying and was talking to another friend and saying, it's very exciting. I've never died before. Only a Quaker would say that, right? But how do we let go? How do we let go? And as so often happens with these advices, I find that the one that I'm studying and focusing on and sort of soaking up, it's the medicine that I need for that month in particular. So at the moment, I'm trying to discern if the time is right to let go of an aspect of my work. And I can certainly see pride and guilt really pulling out all the stops on their little dance, you know. Oh, if I stop, they won't be able to replace me. And, oh, how could I do such a thing? You know? But I like how it says undue pride or guilt. Surely there's a balance there, which keeps it real, doesn't it? And how do we take on roles without undue pride? I remember reading of someone who described her time on eldership as standing on elders, which I thought was a humorous image, but also a great way to separate the tangle of over-identification. You know, I am an elder, etc. You know, it's just a temporary place to stand, just like all the roles we have, I guess. Listening to a talk recently by Tara Brach on depression, she likened it to being like a log jam. She likened depression, okay, to being like a log jam. So when they cut down the trees and they send them off down the river, they float them downstream, at certain places they can get jammed. And then someone has to stand on the bank with a long pole. And it takes some skill, I imagine, just to see exactly which log to nudge. And then they all untangle and start to flow again. It takes courage to see where there are these log jams, where things have stopped flowing. Attending to these places, letting go into the flow of the river. And that's what I'm going to invite us to explore today in our practice. And just to say, really, centering down is a practice of letting go. Right? The steps that we move into after that depends on whether we're in meeting for worship or meeting on our own, but they are always a response to what does love require of me? You know, I've let go. What does love require of me now? Is there a holding in the light? A listening? Just attending to the breath, the body? What does love require of me? And I think for me, what's been so helpful with this attending to what love requires of me is this idea of a loving witness. Okay? So on advice inquiries number one, we take heed to the promptings of love and truth. And really, the whole of the spiritual journey can be summed up in just that one sentence, can't it? To take heed to love, to compassion, and truth. Yeah, being the wisdom, discernment. And the loving witness, I see it as this ability to... I'm thinking of a situation in the playground today where a child fell and she'd hurt herself and, you know, grazed her knee and she was in shock and crying. I guess she's four, maybe five. And I sort of got down on beside her and we were looking at the knee and, oh, that hurts. That's sore. Oh. And there wasn't anything else to that needed doing, just being the loving witness at that point. There wasn't blood pouring out, there wasn't anything I needed to do, but just to be beside her and witness that she'd hurt herself. And I think that loving witness is like that larger pair of arms that I described that helps us to let go. Can we be a loving witness to our back pain or to the frustration we're feeling with that person who said that thing, you know? Can we be a loving witness and attend to what love requires of us? And then there's that wonderful thing about attending, because it makes me think of tender. There is something about attending, going back to that baby again, which is a tender practice. So we're going to tend to our breath, our body, like tracing very delicately what's happening in this moment. Good. And I think thanks to Anne, I have a wonderful poem which I'm going to start off our practice with. So let's just adjust our... if you need to wriggle or move or adjust your position. Good. Very good. So Anne Reed sent me this poem, and I'm grateful to all of you who do send me poems. They're such a gift, and I, you know, put them in where I can, but this is this one is going to start our practice today. And it's by Miroslav Cholob, and it's called The Door. Go and open the door. Maybe outside there's a tree or a wood, a garden, or a magic city. Go and open the door. Maybe a dog's rummaging. Maybe you'll see a face or an eye or the picture of a picture. Go and open the door. If there's a fog, it will clear. Go and open the door. Even if there's only the darkness ticking, even if there's only the hollow wind, even if nothing is there, go and open the door. At least there'll be a draft. Go and open the door. If there's a fog, it will clear. Go and open the door. Even if there's only the darkness ticking, even if there's only the hollow wind, even if nothing is there, go and open the door. At least there'll be a draft. I invite you to attend. We'll start with our top of our heads, attending to all the muscles in the scalp and the face, to all the muscles and the back of your neck, your throat, on the next out-breath, attending to your shoulders, letting them melt and soften, like a warm liquid light moving down the shoulders, down the arms, pooling into your hands. Attend to the rise and fall of the chest as you breathe. the sensation of the lungs filling and deflating. Attend to the belly, the abdomen. Perhaps it can soften and relax. Attend to your sit bones, the pelvic area. Maybe that lovely liquid light can pool and soften, melting anything so you can sort of let go. You can flow down your legs and into your feet. And you might imagine the whole body falling out against the envelope of the skin and almost that it could go beyond that into something that's holding you. This ability to let go into something larger. As you let go, perhaps this loving witness which is holding you might be saying, I love you, you can let go, I've got you, I'm right here. there's a quote, if you let go a little, you have a little bit of freedom. If you let go a lot, you have a lot of freedom. If you let go completely, then you are completely free. And perhaps to the degree we can feel the loving witness and let go into those arms. Attend to what love requires of you. Go and open the door. If there's a fog, it will clear. Go and open the door. Even if there's only the darkness ticking, even if there's only the hollow wind, even if nothing is there, go and open the door. At least there'll be a draft. When you're ready, friends, gently open your eyes and come back together.